Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the A24 Project. Me and Dallas will be back as normal next week to discuss Cutbank and Ex Machina, but this week I'm joined by Millie Shapiro, who plays Charlie in Hereditary, one of the most interesting and iconic characters from the A24 series. Millie joins me over Skype to talk about what inspired her to become an actress and the road to the Broadway stage for her, how she got cast in Hereditary and the creation of the Charlie character, including that famous clock sound, and we talk about what it means for her to be involved in an A24 film. There's obviously spoilers for Hereditary in this interview, so if you've not seen it yet, then be sure to watch it and then dive back in. Thanks to Millie for joining me, and I hope you enjoy this special episode.
Joined by Millie Shapiro, who was the star of Hereditary, Tony Award-winning actress and star of so many great plays. Millie, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I kind of just want to go back to the beginning first. And what I always love about actors, writers, singers is it's a career that involves a lot of risk and a lot of gambling. I'd love to know, what was the film's talents, the inspiration that kind of pushed you towards a career in acting at that young age?
Well, the thing that really put me over the edge and made me want to do it the most was when I was 3 years old. I lived in Florida and my mom took me to see a touring production of Cats, and I was riveted the whole time, just intently watching the performers. And at the end, I turned to my mom and said, "I want to do that." She was like, "Okay." And so then I started taking singing lessons and acting lessons and been doing it ever since.
What was it about kind of Cats in particular that I actually remember seeing that at a really young age and being sort of blown away as well? It seemed like such a good mix of, you know, music and sort of something a bit terrifying too.
Yeah, I think for me it was just seeing the actors create this whole world, and for them it was real. That kind of drew me to it, and I wanted to see like how they did it and make worlds for other people to watch, and I think that's what really appealed to me.
And was there ever like a specific actor you would see sometimes on TV or stage that was someone that you kind of looked up to and sort of saw, you know, it can be possible to make it as an actor?
I really liked watching Bernadette Peters. Me and my sister, we would watch the Into the Woods recording over and over and over again. We probably watched it over 100 times, and she's just so amazing as the witch because there's a whole transformation of the character too, and she has all these prosthetics on, and it was just really amazing. And it was just something that I always wanted to do, and so being able to say that I've done it and I'm still doing it is really exciting.
Was there a point when you were kind of young that you thought, I'm never going to achieve this, that you maybe had your eye on sort of another job or a career, or has it always been something that you've believed you can do and kind of get there?
Before I got anything, I was kind of like, oh, nothing's going to happen until I'm like way older. I'm just preparing now. And I used to have awful stage fright, so I was trying to get over that. And anytime I had to like speak in front of people or do anything, I'd get really, really frightened and nervous and just horribly afraid. But I would always like watch videos or listen to things or interviews about Barbara Streisand, and she always had crippling stage fright. And so I was like, well, if Barbara Streisand can do it, I guess I could do it too. I'll push through. And then after a while, I stopped being afraid and I got more determined, and now I'm an actor, I guess.
That's definitely a great motto in life. If Barbara Streisand can do it, I can do it. I might have to steal that one from you.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you were kind of young as well, that you were training to be sort of a singer as well, was it musicals that you loved as well that pushed you towards that side as well? Or was there ever sort of any kind of other musical talent that inspired you?
I always loved to sing. I was a very strange child, so like the two things I listened to as a kid was there's a show that was like in the 80s, 90s that bands would go and they would play a song and have a performance, and my mom had all the DVDs of it, and so there was one DVD that had Kiss on it, the rock band, and so I'd watch the Kiss performance of Black Diamond, and they would destroy all the instruments at the end, and I loved that for some reason. And then I had, like, a Barbra Streisand CD, and I wanted to, like, do something that kind of involved both of those. And then as I got older, I was introduced into more musical theater, and I was like, oh, there's every kind of thing you can imagine here. And so I started training to be a musical theater performer, and then after a while, I started trying to be more of an actor, and I got to do both, which was really cool.
What was the sort of training like for that at sort of a young age, trying to be a singer and an actor? Was it ever sort of challenging trying to be, you know, amazing at both, or was there one that was perhaps always a bit more of a personal favorite?
I always kind of liked acting more in a way, but I do love singing. When I first started singing, I would just do like 15-minute lessons because I was really little and it's all I had the attention span for. And when I got older, I started to do acting lessons when I was around 5 or 6. And it kind of switches for me, which I like better. I always wanted to do something that included them both, but I never really knew exactly what that would entail. But I definitely can't pick one over the other, because they're, like, so much a part of me because I've been doing it my whole life. And when you sing, you have to act to tell a story about the song. And so it's almost like they go hand in hand. And I think just figuring all that out was part of, like, who I am. And it's really developed, like, why I do what I do and who I am as a person.
What was it like for you when you were sort of discovered for the role of Matilda? How did that come around?
Well, me and my sister, we were in a performing group in Florida, and the director of the group said, like, oh, girls, if you want, there's this Annie production in Florida that you can audition for and perform in. And so me and my sister auditioned. I got Orphan Number 3, the last of the unnamed orphans, and she got Molly. And while we were at the camp, the director said that his cousin was running a camp in New Jersey and that we should go, and sometimes managers go to it. And so we went, and then we got picked up by a manager there. And then my first audition was for Matilda. And after 9 callbacks and memorizing things, learning songs, I got the part. And I did not expect it, because when you're an actor, people are always telling you, oh, you're going to go through like 100 auditions before you get your first job. And so getting my first audition was very exciting and just very amazing. And for such a great show like Matilda, I was just incredibly lucky, and I'm so grateful for that.
I'm a big fan of Matilda. I was a fan of it at a young age. I remembered the book and then the film with Mara Wilson, and then the Tim Minchin play came along. And what's kind of the reputation of Matilda out in America? Did you know it as a young reader yourself, or did you know it through the film, or was it the play?
I originally knew it from the book, and then later on I watched the movie, but I always liked the book better because Roald Dahl books, they have such like a whimsical approach to things, but also a very dark approach. And what I liked about the musical is it kind of took both. And it's so hard to turn a book like Matilda into a musical because there's so many things that are very dark, and you have to make it like appropriate for children, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. But the creative team for Matilda was so amazing with creating that. It just perfectly encompassed what Matilda was and who she was and her relationships with everyone else. And it was just an amazing project to be in because it really developed me as an actor, and I probably wouldn't be where I was today if I hadn't gotten in that. And so I'm just incredibly grateful for that experience.
Was it kind of surreal at a young age to be sort of performing on Broadway and in this like well-known role? You know, you're the titular role as well. What was that like, especially as you say you had that stage fear when you were younger? Was there any sort of worries about going to Broadway?
I was worried leading up and during all the rehearsals. And then the night of my first show, there's always a moment that you're like, I don't remember anything, and I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm so scared. What if I mess up? And then the second I stepped out on stage and I had all the cast members behind me, I knew that they wouldn't let anything bad happen to me. If I messed up, they would help me. And that everyone here wants me to succeed, and I shouldn't be nervous because everyone's here to see the show, and I have to do a good job for them, and that moment helped me clear my fright of performing, and now I don't even get nervous because I know that if you put a lot of work into something, it will come out well because you've built up this strong foundation. So even if you are scared or nervous, you have all the work that you did to back you up. And I think going through that and having all the rehearsals really helped me because you do need a good foundation to have a good performance, and having a wonderful team to work with really helped with that, and it helped me not be scared or frightened. And I don't even think I realized how big of a thing I was doing until afterwards, because I was just a kid. I didn't really think, oh, I'm on Broadway, this is so amazing. I thought, oh, I'm in a show, that's so much fun and cool. And then afterwards, now that I'm older, I'm like, how did I like do that?
That's brilliant.
It's a lot for a kid to do.
And on top of that as well, you won an Tony for excellence, and you were Grammy nominated for your work on Matilda. What was that like, that you go from, oh my god, you know, it's going to take, you know, 100 auditions before I get a role, to, you know, you hit this big role and then awards come in, nominations around. How surreal was that for you?
It was really amazing. My first experience was in the performing industry was just like the best experience you could ask for, and I was incredibly lucky. And getting to, because for Matilda they had four girls in the role, so it wasn't like I was experiencing it alone. Experiencing it with the other girls was a lot of fun, and I don't think any of us really realized how amazing all the things we were being given were in the moment, because we were so young and people would tell us, but we didn't really like know how to look at it. And we did so many amazing things in that show, and I'm just so lucky. And looking back on it, I always am just so amazed because I was so lucky. It's just amazing to me.
And what I discovered as well when I was kind of doing some research was that you and your sister are doing these amazing concerts and cabarets at 54 Below to support the anti-bullying movement. What inspired that for you? How did that kind of come to be, that you're not just an actor, you're someone that creates content, plays, and cabarets as well? How did that come around?
Well, we started doing the cabarets after Matilda ended, and my sister was in Grinch, so all the things we had done had just ended, and we still wanted to perform, so we thought of the idea, oh, if we did a cabaret, we can make our own show. And we had a bunch of skits in the cabaret because we were very young, and looking back on it, it's like, oh god, why did I do that? But it was very cute and fun, and we knew we didn't want to do a cabaret just for us. We wanted to have like a reason for doing it. And me and my sister were both bullied as kids, so we thought we should pair with this organization that's helping stop this. And they had a really good way of looking at bullying, about, because a lot of bullying organizations and stories about bullying, they always say, oh, the bully's this evil monster and you have to stand up for yourself and they're evil. But in reality, a lot of the times the bully is hurting, so they're just trying to make someone else feel their pain. And so I really liked the approach, which was to create a stronger community instead of ostracizing one person because they were mean once. And so we decided that that was the organization we were going to pair with. And it was such a good idea, and I was really happy that we did that. And doing the cabarets themselves were so much fun because you get to sing your favorite songs and act them out, and it's just a lot of fun. And I was really excited that me and my sister did that, and doing it with your sister is also a lot of fun too.
What's that creative process like for creating something with your sister? I know me and my brother rarely ever managed to make anything together. We always ended up pulling each other's hair out. How did you and your sister go around sort of creating these projects together? What was the sort of positions, and how did you work that out?
We kind of worked everything together. we don't fight that much. We do occasionally, like any siblings, but we're pretty close. And so when we were working with it, if we would fight, we'd make compromises and decide things together. And we had our director, so it wasn't just us. If it was just us, we probably may have killed each other, like any sibling would. We would both think of ideas. She did more of the script writing. I kind of did a little bit more of the, like, where people go and, like, what connects to what and stuff like that. And all in all, it really helped me appreciate the work that directors and writers do, because when you do it yourself, you realize that it is a lot of work and it's really complicated. And I think doing that at a young age really helped me appreciate everyone that works into making a project come together. And it was so much fun to do, and I really enjoyed doing it with my sister.
Excellent. So when did you kind of first hear about the role of Charlie in Hereditary? How did that come around?
Well, I was auditioning, and I got the part when I was walking home from school. Well, not got it, but I heard about the audition. And I hadn't gotten anything for a while, so I was in one of the actor slumps that you get every once in a while. And so I was waiting for the next job, auditioning. And when I read the script for Hereditary, I was so excited because I was always a huge fan of horror. Not when I was a little kid, but then I decided that if I was scared of things, I should just become scarier than them by watching a bunch of scary movies. I had weird logic. And so after that, I was a huge fan of horror. And then when I read the script for Hereditary, I was blown away by it because it's unpredictable. It's not something you've seen before, and it's more psychological. It's not always in your face, and you actually have to think, and it, like, twists your brain around so many times. And so when I read it, I turned to my mom, and I just said, I need to get this part. And I don't say that very often, so she was like, okay, then work for it. And so for the next 2 days, I devoted myself to practicing and making sure I had an idea who the character was and what their physicality was, how they spoke, and all of that. And so then I went into my audition, and when I walked into the waiting room, everyone there was 2 or 3 years younger than me. And for some reason, when I was there, they all had red hair, which is very random. But I went in and I did my audition, and then I got a call back and I met Ari, and then I got the part, and it was very exciting.
It sounds an incredible kind of experience. And one thing that I was really curious about is, what was the collaboration like between you and Ari for sort of the look and performance of Charlie? How much influence did you have over the role? Because it's such an iconic role, physically, vocally, appearance, everything about it. How did you guys create this, and how much was it perhaps on the script?
The script really gave a lot about the characters, because the way it was written, you could really just see who they were. And so as an actor, I had a lot to work with. And so before we started filming, me and Ari, we did a couple of meetings where we read through the script, and we kind of, like, decided on the physicality of Charlie. And I had some influence on the physicality, and so I would bring things to Ari and he would approve them, or if it wasn't exactly what he wanted, we'd talk it through and talk about why Charlie did certain things and why she talked in a certain way, why she thought in a certain way. And it really helped me as an actor, because a lot of the times directors, you don't really get to work with them as much on character creation. It's really just expected of the actor to bring it. And so it was really exciting for me because Ari also wrote it. So it really was helping create a person exactly how the writer wanted it to be. And as an actor, there's nothing more gratifying than that. And so I got to work with Ari to create this amazing character, and it was just really cool because I just saw a person come to life.
What was it like as well for the one thing that everyone, that if you've not seen the film, everyone knows it, there's like the cluck noise that's made, and I've tried and failed to make it sound any way but good. How was that kind of created, and has that been something that you'll find that people at parties or, you know, dinner tables are like, oh, can you do that for us? Has that become something you've kind of become almost known for?
Yeah, I think I've become pretty well known for it. A lot of my friends will tease me, so they'll come right up behind me and do the sound. And it was in the script, and I think it was just such a brilliant way of conveying a character, because Charlie is a very interesting character, and the clicking is one of her tics. So if she feels like overwhelmed or nervous, she'll click to calm herself down. And I think that really helped me, because it gives you a view into the thought process of the character. And my friends do it all the time, and people will ask me to do it. And it was actually complicated coming up with the exact sound. We actually had like a 30-minute meeting just figuring out what type of click there are, because if you really think about it, there's a lot of different sounds that a person can make. And when we decided on it, we were like, that's it, that's the one.
Before you kind of started filming, did you get much of a chance to sort of interact with Tony, Gabriel and Alex to sort of create a bit of a family unit, or was that something that sort of had to be done on the set on the day?
Me and Alex worked a lot together beforehand. We did some character outings when we were in Utah for filming, and it was very awkward because our characters aren't really the most normal people, and so we would have to like do a task. So one of them was like go out to eat, and another was like buy a jacket, and it would be stuff that are really normal activities, but it would require us to like walk around town and interact with people. And so it really helped us develop our relationship with each other and what our characters think of each other. Like, is Peter annoyed by Charlie? He cares for her, but how much so? How much is it just like a bother to him? And then Charlie, like, how much does she actually care about Peter? And it really helped us, because doing those exercises, it just put us in a position where we had to be the characters and we had to live a day in their life almost. And it really helped us.
Me and my co-host for the podcast, Dallas, have said for months and months that Toni Collette has been robbed of an Oscar nomination for her performance in this movie. What was it like kind of working with her? This is like, I mean, I'm a huge fan of her, but I think this is one of her finest bits of work. What was it like working with her on this kind of performance and role?
It was really amazing working with Toni. I was super nervous beforehand because I saw her in The Sixth Sense and so many other things. And I was like, oh my God, this is Toni Collette. She's a very experienced actor. What am I doing? Oh my God. So I was freaking out, but she was super nice. And it was really great to work with. And she was always ready to do the scenes. And getting to work with an actor that experienced, it's just like a dream come true, because you can see how they work and how they process things and how they think and how they work in the scene. And it was just really amazing. It was like doing scenes with her was like having my own personal movie up close to me, and it was really fun.
That's amazing. And one thing I was always thinking, I remember seeing it opening weekend here in the UK, and I had devoured all the trailers and footage, and I always thought like Charlie's going to be sort of probably the main front and center of this movie. And then it's sort of a quite the twist that 30 minutes into the film, you lose your head. What was it like sort of putting together that car sequence? Because that was one of the most terrifying scenes of last year. And I was rewatching it again the other day, and it was like, oh no, it's still just as terrifying. And I think I was in denial watching it the first time. I was like, nah, she's still alive. Yeah, she's going to get up, right? She's going to get up. How did you kind of go around shooting that sequence? It's absolutely brilliant.
It was written so that you could picture it. So when I first read the script, I was like, I'm going to get to do my own stunt for this part, just a bit. And I was super excited, and it was my absolute favorite part to film because it is very complicated. And for me, it was also very funny because I have had the type of allergic reaction that Charlie did, except to red ants. So to me, I was like, oh, I have some experience in this. I can use that because I kind of know how it works. And so it was shot in a bunch of different days. The party stuff was shot in the very, very beginning. It was like the first thing I did, the party scenes and the allergic reaction beginning. And then they did some stuff in a soundstage with the car. And so they had this like giant stick underneath the car and would jump up and down on it to move the car around, which I thought was hilarious. And they had this giant fan creating wind, and I would lean out the car dramatically. And I was like, oh, I can't breathe, drama. And then Alex was like freaking out. And then we did some of the car stuff actually outside, and it was super late at night, like midnight, and they had lawn mowers going to get some smoke, which is really funny. And they had like this giant light, and I was tethered into the car while leaning out of it, which was a lot of fun because we were going 30 miles an hour and I was tethered into a car leaning out, so it was kind of like a roller coaster. And I had the wind blowing and all this prosthetic makeup on. And it was so much fun to film, and it's such an important part of the film because you don't expect it, and it throws you for a loop, and you're not really sure what's going on. The trailers were very specific about how they were marketed, so you didn't expect it to happen. So when it does, it's a huge shock to everyone, and I think that really set a tone for the rest of the film.
Do you ever, when you sort of watch the film where you're watching it with strangers that didn't know what to expect, have you got that moment where you're like, I know what's going to come here, and you take your eyes off the screen and you're just watching the audience to see how they react, or is that just something I do?
No, I did that the first time I saw it and every time since, because I knew what was going to happen and everyone else didn't, and so seeing them react in a raw, emotional way, it would just... on the fly, it was so cool as an actor because you see people react to your work up close and they don't expect things and they're shocked by things, and seeing people's reactions was a lot of fun because you have a little secret that you know what's going to happen. And so then when it happens and you see people react, you're not reacting because you know, but they don't. And so then if I'm watching it with a friend, they'll be like, why didn't you tell me? Like, that's the point! And it's really cool as an actor.
When you sort of were... there's the scene where we see it later on. We see your head on the ground and, you know, probably giving you nightmares that's covered in ants and bugs. How did they sort of create a cast for your head? And I've got to ask, one of my co-workers and dear friends, Ross, asked, did you get to take the head home with you?
No, I didn't. I really wanted it, though. How they made the head was super cool too. I flew up to Canada for a day and they did a life cast, so they did like a silicone cast in my head and shoulders, and that was always kind of interesting because your eyes and mouth are covered and you can only breathe through like straws in your nose for 20 minutes and they fill your ears in. It's a very strange experience. And then they made another me, and they did plaster all over my body so they could have a body of me too. And on set, it was always really funny when it was around, because sometimes there would just be the body of me just hanging out somewhere. And there's this one day on set where like all of the fake bodies that were all decapitated were just like laying next to each other, and it was really funny to just see a bunch of bodies laying around and you're like, oh cool, those are really well made. So to me, it was really funny.
And what was it like with, obviously, like the trailers and ad campaigns? It's launched with your face all over the posters. You're filling all the trailers. What was it like to be part of like a viral marketing campaign like that? Because I'm sure even the people that were involved in Hereditary probably didn't expect the, you know, all this trailers and, you know, posters and kind of even the clucking to go as viral and global as it did.
Yeah, it was super cool. I remember I was just so shocked and so amazed because that was my face. And I was like, oh my God, that's really cool. And my friends one day, they were walking by this giant movie theater, and it had like a giant Hereditary poster. So there's a giant face of mine. And my friends were like screaming on the side of the street, freaking out. And they sent me a picture of it. And I was just so excited and shocked and surprised, and it was really cool. And then to hear about all the people that like were so excited for it, or like loved the trailer or loved the movie, it's just really amazing, because when you do something, you never know what people's reactions are going to be. And so to have people react on the scale that they did was really amazing.
Was there any feeling on the set when you guys were making this movie that it was going to become this huge movie that it was, or was it just something that you're kind of in a bubble thinking, we're going to make this and maybe the world will kind of catch it?
It was kind of a mix of both. I think everyone knew when we were making it that the movie itself was really, really brilliant and amazing. But with really good movies, you never know, especially horror, you never know how people are going to react, because it is something that's so opinionated for the general public, whether they like a movie or not. But I feel like we all knew that it was going to go somewhere. And so when it did, it was really exciting.
It's pretty much been like nearly a year to the day since it premiered at Sundance, and that it's never sort of stopped rolling since. What was it like seeing it at Sundance and then people resonating with the movie, the reviews start flooding in, it becomes a real thing for the world to kind of devour?
It was really nerve-wracking and exciting at the same time, because when I saw it at Sundance, that was the first time I'd seen it, and that's the first time anyone had seen it. So I was super nervous, and the first time, it had been like almost a year since I had auditioned for it. So I was like, oh God, what am I doing? Because when you're an actor, whenever you watch yourself act, you're like, why did I do that? Why? And it's just, I hate watching myself. So the first time I saw it, I was just like, oh my God, no, stop. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh my God, everyone's so good. And the third time I was like, this is actually a good movie. Wow, I need to stop watching myself. Oh my God. And so seeing people react and then coming up to me afterwards and saying that they loved it, and hearing about the reviews and all that stuff and getting interviews, it was just like so amazing to me, because I didn't think it would be this big, and it was my first film, so you never know, because people always tell you, like, oh, don't expect much for your first film. You never know where it's going to go. It probably won't go anywhere, but it went to the best place it could possibly go, and it was just, I'm so lucky. I always say that because it's really true. I've been just so lucky, and I'm so grateful for everything that has happened to me with this film and with Matilda. Just amazing.
One of my co-workers here on the website asked me, like, he was desperate to know, what's it like going from something quite light-hearted and fun like Matilda to something as horrifying as Hereditary? Were there kind of challenges in sort of threading the two, or was it something as an actor you go, yeah, I can slip into any of these quite easily?
As an actor, it was really exciting, because if you do a lot of characters that are similar, it can get boring after a while. And so taking on a character that's something like you've never done before is very exciting, because you have to create an entirely new thing. And in Matilda, I was the queen of the dark side, as everyone called me, because I was always into the weird and the occult and the creepy and horror movies. So being into that stuff wasn't really new for me. So I think that kind of helped with the transition, but I was really nervous because I had only done theater before, and I was getting the opportunity to do such an amazing part that I was really nervous I wouldn't be able to pull it off, and so I spent hours and hours working on it, and I think I read the script 5 times before I even auditioned, just so I could make sure that I got it as good as it could get, and yeah, I was just super nervous about it. But everyone seems to like it. So.
Oh, for sure. And kind of A24 films are filled with like brilliant female characters. In the Hereditary, we've got Charlie and Annie. Then you also have movies like Lady Bird, Spring Breakers, Witch, Under the Skin, Ginger Rosa, 20th Century Women, The Florida Project. And that's just a kind of few of them. What was it like to join that sort of lineup of films that have strong and original female characters?
It was super cool, because a lot of the times films will have female characters that are like the assistant of someone, or they're like always like second. It's never like them. And I feel like nowadays there's a lot more movies where there are female leads and the females are the center of the story, and they're not just there to be there for like audience liking having a woman in the film. It's there because it's part of the story. And with Hereditary, it is very female-oriented, if you kind of think about it, because Charlie is female, Annie's female, and there's the grandmother and so many things like that. And getting to be considered part of the strong female parts is just amazing to me, and I'm really grateful and happy for it.
And what was it like to be involved in sort of an A24 film? Because, you know, we think of like people star in so many movies and no one thinks of like who makes them and distributes them. But A24 seems to have developed quite a kind of cult following. Did that sort of resonate and or click with you, or is that something that excites you?
I was super excited to work with A24 because they do a lot of movies that other people probably wouldn't be comfortable with doing, because they are made to make people uncomfortable or think in a new way. And so I was super excited. And everyone at A24 was really nice. And so they were just great to work with.
And have you got a favorite A24 movie?
Oh, that's a good question. I really liked Lady Bird. I think it... it was a good movie, especially watching it as a teen, because they're not trying to over-dramatize or glorify certain aspects of anything. It's just showing you what it actually is like, and I really liked it. It was really good.
And you've mentioned a few times that you love horror movies. What horror movies, for someone like myself, I only catch maybe a few a year. It's not the genre that's top of my list. What ones would you recommend to me that I check out, and to listeners as well?
I always go with the classics. Those are always really good, like The Shining, anything Stephen King, the original It, the TV version, I really like, because it's more psychological. And Cabin in the Woods is a really good one. Saw is a good one to watch if you're, like, looking for some gore and, like, kind of a laugh, because the first one they had, like, no budget for, and me and my friend love watching them because they're kind of funny. Yeah, and like the Paranormal Activity ones are always fun to watch. Pretty much anything. Horror movies, even if they're not the best, they're always fun to watch, especially if you're with a friend. I think horror really brings people together in a way, because you share a fearful experience. And I think that really makes people a lot closer.
And kind of finally, that what's kind of next for you? Have you got anything exciting on the horizon that you can talk about, or any sort of plays that we can keep an eye out for coming on Ticketmaster, etc.?
I did some voiceover work recently, but I can't really say what for. And that was a lot of fun, because that's always something I wanted to do. And I may be doing a cabaret with just me, so that would be soon and very exciting. But mostly just waiting for the next thing and auditioning, and yeah, it's very exciting.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. You know, Charlie is going to be a classic character, and I think it already is one. So thank you very much for taking me behind the scenes of the making of it and your career to date. It's going to be an exciting one to follow in the years ahead.
Thank you so much for having me.
Perfect. Thank you.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Nerd Party.